Time for a Stain Gang podcast and time to talk tennis with Scott Lynn. I'm Pete Stein. Glad you're joining us for these podcasts. First things first, I have to apologize because we did tried to record a podcast last week, but we had a technical problem. We were unable to get it posted, so my apologies to Scott and to you, because I know those of you who have been listening on a weekly basis are looking forward to these podcasts, so we apologize. And Scott was great last week, so if you could just meet that standard again this week. Just to real quickly, I don't want to do the whole 20 minutes that we did last week, but the trip to California, essentially, you got what you wanted from the team out of that trip.
Absolutely. You go to the spring break trips that we travel on. The goal is to play as many quality programs as possible, get as many matches as possible, possibly get acclimated to the heat, even though it rained most of the time. California was 60 degrees. It was a really good trip, and you learn a lot about your programs because you spend a lot of time together, and you're just finding out how they get ready for match in, match out. And we have a lot of new players, especially on the men's tennis team this year, and on the women's tennis team, we've got some players that we haven't traveled a whole lot with, especially because of COVID. And so that was it was fantastic. Spring break trip was really good.
Let's start with the women because you've been traveling a lot with the women lately. You just finished a three-leg road trip that started at A&M Kingsville. So let's start there. On paper, you won that duel 4-3, but in truth, you clinched early and retired from two singles matches because you've got to get to San Angelo to play the next day. Just kind of talk through your thinking over the course of that match in Kingsville, and what were your impressions of the way you played in Kingsville?
Well, I thought we competed well in Kingsville. It's not an easy situation. We had been on the road, and then we turn around and come back and go there to Kingsville after being in California, and the travel for the team and for myself is long. But the team did fantastic. We had a great group of ladies, and they compete extremely well, and they're committed, and so it's a lot of fun to travel with them, but the temperature was 90-something degrees, and we haven't seen anything like that here in Wichita Falls or in California, so that was quite an adjustment, and the players did a really good job, and we were fortunate enough to get up 4-1 against a good Kingsville team, and at that point, you had to kind of assess everything, and it looked like, at least in one match, we were going to be there for another hour at least, and if we finished that match, so sometimes you have to make decisions that are in the best interest of the program, and allowed us to get into Angelo at about 11 o'clock that night and play at noon the next day. But that's the decision behind it. I don't really like those decisions at all. I know players, they start a match, they want to finish a match, and that's the way they should be thinking. You know, they start something, they want to finish it as a tennis player. So.
Are you comfortable with the rule the way it is in the Lone Star Conference? Do you think you should have just played the clinch at Kingsville?
No, I like the rule because if there are tiebreakers at the end of the year, you know that's you're fighting for a championship during the regular season, but the tiebreaker if we go in, you know, going into postseason, it's your seeding's based upon how you finish the regular season, and if there's a tiebreaker, it comes down to least amount of matches lost, I believe, or so in that situation, I like it because it determines a seeding and it's the best way to do it. It's not based on a ranking, which can be subjective at times. And so until you get enough data, so I feel like that's the right way to do it. We try to set ourselves up to play two good matches both days. And so that was, you know, sometimes you make those decisions, and that's the goal is to try to win both.
So then you go to San Angelo, and they were ranked 29th at the time you faced them. They've been off to a pretty strong start this year. Do you think fatigue played a factor in the result there in San Angelo?
No, I don't think fatigue played a factor. I would say they played better than us. We did not play well in doubles that day as a team, and in singles, they just played better. We didn't play as well as we're definitely capable of playing in singles. And at times they played extremely well on some courts. And we had opportunities. You know, at one singles we were up big in the first set. And at two singles we won that match, came back and won. Hanny Yip really has had a really good streak of two or three weeks of solid tennis. And at three singles we got ourselves in the third. And Emmy Visick put herself in position to win the second set in the first set in that at that match at number four singles and number five singles. I mean, Skylar's not going to have a perfect match every match, and
we kind of been spoiled by her a little bit,
right? And the lady she played against played very well. I went on that court for the last 2-3 games of the match, and the player from Angelo was hitting balls all over the place and short angles and doing all kinds of things that maybe Skylar doesn't see at five singles as much. Six singles just didn't finish well enough, but great energy and great focus. But for the majority of the match, so. Yeah, I mean, if we'd have played a solid match all the way through, we put ourselves in position to beat Angelo. But they're a good team as well, and they were ready to play us, and so kudos to them.
Do you think they've gotten their program to where they're one of the better teams in the conference?
Oh yeah, I think they won conference last year, the regular season, or they at least tied for conference championship in the year before that. So consistently, it's a new coach now. Chris did a really good job. Chris Bizot, who's coach at UT Tyler, did a very good job of starting a program from scratch there at Angelo, just a women's team, and did an excellent job of building that program, and they've continued to move forward. But yeah, it's a good program. I mean, it's good. There's not a lot of, I mean, we don't have a lot of top five teams in the country in this conference, but you're going to play several nationally ranked teams.
You know, speaking of starting programs from scratch, you made a trip to Lubbock on Tuesday with both the men and women. In an era where we're seeing athletic departments shut programs down, Lubbock Christian has brought their tennis program back. It had been disbanded since the early 80s. Obviously, I would think you're pretty happy that Lubbock Christian is playing tennis in the Lone Star Conference now.
Absolutely, and I believe next year and the next couple of years, there's a good chance we're adding some other programs as well. So I think there's a resurgence of tennis, men and women, which is great, and Jason's done a very good job of starting that program at Lubbock Christian. Their number one guy won the ITA regional in the fall and made it to nationals, which is tremendous for their program. And they have a good situation up there at Lubbock Christian. They had good fans out yesterday. It was definitely they had a home court advantage for a long period of the match. Our ladies did a really good job, maybe because we've seen it multiple times now on the women's side on the road. Our ladies' focus was spot on all day long yesterday. Ethne Dowling, who hasn't had a chance to play, she traveled with us, and she does a lot of coaching in practice for us. She traveled with us, and she basically coached the women's team yesterday, and she did an excellent job, and very fortunate to still have her in the program. She's a senior, but sometimes in tennis, you know, if I'm coaching two teams at the same time, I get moved into a direction, and I was basically just with the men for long periods of time yesterday, and the ladies were locked in. I mean, Amelia Lawson, she was, I can't remember the last time we had a 6-0 win at number, against a good team at number one singles, and just locked in from beginning to end at the match. And it was across the board on the women's side. Emmy Visick had a great season last year, and it's definitely a different role as a senior. And she's committed, but we started to see yesterday the glimpses of what she was all last year, and that's exciting for our team. So,
you mentioned the ease at which the women won in Lubbock. The men, you had to win 4 3-set matches against this Lubbock Christian team, and you mentioned the number one line and Luis Diaz winning that match for you. That was an impressive victory for him, and I would think a victory that should give him some confidence going forward, though he was playing a player who's kind of got a unique style.
Right. I'll just go back to the women's match for just a second.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes 6-1s aren't really 6-1 in tennis. Our 5-6s had to pull out. They came back at 5-6 and won at the end of the day. The last 45 minutes of the match, when we've already clinched it at 4-1, our 5-6s lost the second set and came back and won in the third, and battled and battled and battled. So, you know, Lubbock Christian did not roll over in that match. And so I think, you know, and it's exciting for me as a coach, because at 5-6 singles, you really need players down there that not only want the team to win, but winning to them is valuable. And both those ladies that were playing there yesterday, Skylar Menz and Michaela McSpadden, it's in their DNA. And so, you know, that's exciting for me, because at the end of the day, a lot of times we end up 5 and 6 into being the last matches on there.
Right.
And when you have players that just kind of need to be on the court, really, and when the pressure's on, they need to be there, that's exciting at the end of the day.
And they're playing those super tie breaks, which is a tie break to 10.
Right.
Those can get tricky.
Right.
And to pull both of those out was also impressive.
They did it. Their focus was spot on. Whether they won every point or not, their focus was excellent in both those super tiebreakers, and I got to watch the majority of both those. Going back to the men's side, I agree with you. Luis was an excellent win for Luis. That guy had beaten him at a Cameron invite in the fall. Pretty, you know, the second set was tight, but really that guy controlled most of the match. To yesterday, Luis kind of took that step that we've seen with our number ones in the past, you know, an Alex Martinez or an Angel Palacios, especially Angel, that just calm determination to patiently work through situations. And Luis just showed it yesterday against a very difficult opponent to play because his game style's so different than anybody else you're going to see. And the fact that Luis was able to lose a first set, I think he lost 6-2, and completely get into, just kind of grind it out. It's like, you know, just sitting down and just problem solving and knowing it's going to take, you know, 2.5 hours to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Luis was already, before he came here, a very special college tennis player at St. Edward's. I think, you know, took the next step that a competitor needs to take, is where they're willing to just stay there and work through those situations. And we saw that with Kyle Davidson before those guys, Kyle, and they were those guys, Luke Joyce, Casper Borique, and Ramon Toyos. Those are like the five guys. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, along with Angel and Alex Martinez. Those were the guys that, you know, kind of exemplified working through situations for our program and at the top of our lineup. And Luis yesterday took that step in a very difficult situation.
He was playing Martin Zabamu, who's ranked 13th in the nation. He won the ITA Division II South Central Region Singles Championship, had been 7-0 at number one singles for Lubbock Christian. Can you describe his style? I could try, but I think you'll do a better job. But can you describe his style?
Well, he's very calm, and he slices pretty much everything, and then every once in a while throwing a topspin ball. He's quick. He doesn't look like he's hurting you, but in fact, he's making you work extremely hard for each point you're having to win. You've got to be committed to the overall vision of a point. You can't just hit balls well and beat him. You got to put yourself in positions to win the point. Whether that's moving up into the court, whether that's covering in a difficult situation where you thought you had control of the point, or whether that's closing off the net. And then it's the body language that goes into playing somebody like that that's going to make you work so hard for every point without really hitting you. You know, a lot of times you'll see players who just hit the ball so well and, you know, you're like, well, what can I do? And we talk a lot about changing things when that happens. But in this situation, this guy's not hitting through the court. He is putting you in awkward spots, maybe in the spot you didn't even want to be in, and you got to work yourself out of it. And you have time. You can work yourself out of it if you work at it, but it takes special players to be comfortable doing that.
You talked about the problem solving. Was that something that Luis did on his own, or were you able to help him out?
No, he did that on his own. I mean, I spent most of my time between courts 3 and 4 singles yesterday for the men, which is Marsal, Mered, and Germano Setti, and both those guys did an excellent job after losing the first set of coming back and win the match. Germano Setti saved match points in the second set, and they were two grueling points that he won to save match points, and then he shifted the momentum of the match, and Marsal was more about just maintaining focus for the entire match. And I really felt like, and you can't see it in the scores because all the scores look the same, but Charlie Heffernan, in many ways, he played well in doubles, didn't get the win, and then in singles, he really carried our confidence and our focus of our four matches going at the same time. At 1 through 4 singles, Charlie did an excellent job, and the guy that he was playing from at LCU started playing extremely well for about an hour and a half of the match, And Charlie just weathered the storm, stayed there, kept his tennis, and at the end was able to finish the match in the third set. But Charlie did a really good job yesterday as well.
Do you think there's momentum in tennis? Can you carry what you did in Lubbock to this weekend when you're playing at home on Friday and Saturday?
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's the goal, to learn.
So in baseball, they say there's really no such thing as momentum. You're only as good as the next day's pitcher. Is it the same in tennis when you're having to match up against different styles of play?
No, I mean, yeah, there are different styles of play, but it's not the same as in baseball where you face different pitchers and you got to, you know, kind of look at the strategy of the pitcher versus the hitter. Tennis is more confidence, belief, and adding to the game what you work on every day in training. Can you consistently keep adding to your game with confidence and belief? And had a good coach that I worked with at Indiana, Randy Blumendahl, and he talked to me about the difference between confidence and belief. And confidence is something you gain from winning, and belief is something you have inside you. And you don't always win, but you have belief inside you. And confidence is something that you gain from. So I think you can carry things from match to match if you choose to. And, you know, my plan is with our guys is that we carry it from match to match and continue to build.
So we mentioned the two matches that are coming up here at the MSU Tennis Center this weekend, and it starts Friday morning at 10 o'clock against Western New Mexico. What are you expecting to see out of those Mustangs?
Well, I mean, and as everybody's got a shot this season, this, you know, you're early in the conference season. They're traveling. They're going to strike the ball well. Normally players that play at altitude strike the ball well, so there's going to be some of that. But I think that everybody's got a shot at this point in the year, so everybody's going to play hard. So I anticipate they're going to play extremely hard, and we're going to have to be focused and, you know, be ready to play some doubles and then be ready to work extremely hard in singles to get wins this weekend.
Both the men and women, you think the teams are about even in terms of Western New Mexico?
Yeah, I don't know enough, and I'll do some research today and tomorrow, but I don't know enough about Western New Mexico at this point. I know they traveled out to California and played Biola like the day or two before we played them, so they're going out and playing good matches as well. Little easier trip for them from Silver City, Mexico, than it is for us from Wichita Falls.
It's probably an easier trip for them going to Biola than coming here.
I think it is. So figure that out about the Lone Star Conference.
Right.
So that's, you know, they're tough matches. Everybody believes they got a shot. Everybody's going to play with great energy. We're going to find out who's tougher and who's going to compete longer and, you know, and implement what they've learned all year.
You mentioned they play in altitude. Is it easier for them to come from altitude to Wichita Falls than it is for you to go from Wichita Falls to playing at altitude?
I have no idea. I know that it's a challenge that we didn't even talk about because we went to altitude in Lubbock. You know, you go from 0 to 3,000 feet, and so we've really not discussed that. I try not to get too much caught into that because you can start overthinking the game of tennis. You're out there. It's kind of like a pitcher in baseball or softball. You can overthink it. You can overthink it and try to be too perfect instead of just going out there and competing and letting yourself play and trusting what you have in the back. I had one of the best players that I've had an opportunity to coach here, Kyle Davidson, used to tell me, "Coach, when you say give me information, I learn to just put it in the back of my brain." And it was not a derogatory comment. It was a comment that was made a lot of sense to me, is because you can give a player too much information. They can think about too many things. But you, as a coach, you've seen a lot. And so you're giving them good information, but they need to be able to not dwell on it and know that it's back there and know, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what he said. That's what she said. I can use that at this time. So I guess to go back to what you were talking about, going from altitude or coming from altitude, you know what? Honestly, I'm not going to give away too many secrets on this podcast, but it's, you know, you got to go out and compete. Doesn't matter if you're playing at 6,000 feet or you're playing at sea level, you got to go out and compete, and you got to make adjustments based on certain things that are going on and subtle adjustments. And if you can be confident and belief and be ready to work, then you're going to be fine.
Permian Basin is here Saturday for a 10 o'clock match. What do you expect out of that duel?
I expect we had a battle with them last year at in Midland, and it was a tough match, you know, on both the men and women's side. And you know, these are different teams this year, but UT Permian Basin played extremely hard against us that day, and I anticipate they'll play hard against us as well. And we'll have to be ready to bring the energy and bring the focus and to continue to build at home. I feel like at home you should have a home court advantage. Nothing more than if you're traveling all over the place and you're sometimes you come back home, you'd like to have that little extra that can kind of push you through in situations. Maybe it's 1%, maybe it's 5%, kind of push you through in those situations, or maybe it makes it a little more difficult on the opponents if they're not completely focused. I think our women's team did an excellent job of that yesterday. I felt like Lubbock Christian's baseball team was out there yesterday, and our ladies were just locked in. They couldn't tell that all those fans had played any role in our focus, our energy, our belief, our ability to problem solve. You couldn't see it at all. And so, you know, I was very proud of the women from that standpoint.
Talking about conditions in Lubbock, watching the stream, it seemed like it was a really windy day out there.
It wasn't.
Really?
Actually, yes. Actually, the last we've hit some balls in Lubbock on the way out to California, and then yesterday, neither day. And I've been to Lubbock, and when players talk about wind here in Wichita Falls, I'm like, you have no idea. Lubbock is a whole different ball game of wind coming at you. And really, those 2 days, yesterday it was pretty nice all day long.
Well, the reason I say that is that the camera was being affected by wind at times.
That may be something they've got to work on with their live streaming because from our perspective, it was – maybe we've gotten a lot of wind here in Wichita Falls, so maybe we're not – I know Angelo on Saturday, Angelo was a strong wind for periods of the match, but we didn't really yesterday find any – we didn't really have to deal with the wind at all.
But I was going to say, you do get a chance to play in the wind quite a bit here at Wichita Falls, so correct. I would think that's something that doesn't really affect your team. Is that a fair assessment?
No, it shouldn't affect us if you train in it all the time. I mean, it's kind of like, how do you train and how do you prepare? And, you know, if wind becomes one of those things you have to work with every day, you really learn how to play in it, whether it's a crosswind, whether it's a wind at your back. There's subtle adjustments you make competitively to use that wind to your advantage. You know, there's the old saying, wind is your friend. And that's a tennis saying, but you learn. I grew up playing in the state of Oklahoma, and we had a lot of wind there too. And sometimes there was one place, Oklahoma City Tennis Center, where it basically was a bowl, and the wind would just drop into the bowl, and it would just swirl. So you had no idea if it was a crosswind or a baseline, you know, baseline to baseline wind. And that's you know, you learn how to deal with it, and if you're not thinking clearly, it can affect you. If you're thinking clearly, it can really help you.
So you're into the heart of the conference schedule now. Is your team pretty much where you want them to be at this point of the season?
Well, yes. I mean, I felt like yesterday we did two things really well. On the women's side, we stayed focused from beginning to end, majority of the points, the entire match. On the men's side, we were down for, I mean, we were probably down for 2.5 hours of the match and came back and won pretty soundly at the end. I mean, we dropped the last match of 6 singles, and Steven just was there and just couldn't quite finish it off. But that's, you know, those are two good things. You know, when you have a team that hasn't really come back, like we came back on the men's side, we haven't done that this year. We've either won soundly or fought and not quite and got back into the match. Yesterday we came back and we were in a difficult situation. The ladies from beginning to end, after all the matches they've played on the road, you know, so many matches, and even the Missouri Western match last Wednesday, that was a difficult match. We had two ladies cramp up in that match.
That was a pretty warm day, not as warm as Kingsville, but right. We were in the mid to upper 80s when you played that match here on Wednesday.
So that played a factor. You know, you go back to the Kingsville match. I'm thinking about the Wednesday where we've got two of our best competitors cramping up on the court at the end of that day. We're playing Kingsville, and you talked about 4-1 and not completing the last two matches. I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I get everybody to do as close to 100% as possible before we play Angelo State and still have that competitive edge to us? And so the Missouri Western was a great match. They've done a really good job there. The new coach there, and they were solid. They were solid. They were one of the best teams we've seen all year. And we talked about the focus and we talked about the energy, but again, I'm not going to get, we would love to have fans out at our matches, because I think in that situation where we were going to the end in a match, and then 2 days later we're driving to Kingsville and we're playing Kingsville, and then we're driving to Angelo and playing Angelo that Wednesday, I think we could have gotten Missouri Western, but I think we really needed that day, because of all the travel that we had done, we could have used fans just that were getting into the match, and just
players will feed off that energy.
Absolutely. Especially players that, love to be out there and are putting it all the way out there. You know, when you have players cramp up at the end of matches and they're giving everything. They're not cramping up in their brain. Their bodies have extended themselves as far as it'll go, and I'm proud of that as a coach. I'm proud that we have players that'll and then they got to do the next right thing and not allow that to happen again. But at least you're extending yourself to the point where you're giving everything, and that should be a sense of that should be something that we should embrace as a tennis program, as an athletic program. As a university, is when you have students that are willing to give everything to succeed.
Scott, so much fun talking to you about Midwestern State tennis. I'm really enjoying these podcasts. I hope you are, and I hope everybody enjoys listening. Midwestern State will be home Friday and Saturday. Both duels get underway at 10 a.m. We'd love to see you at MSU Tennis Center. I'm Pete Stein. So long.